Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Joel.
Boys, how good's footy?
It's fucking beautiful.
Arrogance.
Crazy week of football.
Respect to you. Well done.
Baffling. Oh,
actually, I just remembered what the result was. A win for the edge.
Yeah.
That's a win for the edge.
Collingwood lost that game and Essendon won it. Sorry. You know how you can have a, someone wins a draw and someone loses a draw? Essendon won the draw.
It's a tricky they had to score
to level it.
I'm critical because, like, one of our favourites on this show, Kyle Langford.
Had a shot, 30 metres out.
He cooked it.
Sprayed it.
Could have done the Langford double-double plus one.
Yeah.
Did he kick four?
Yeah, he kicked four.
Yeah. He actually, do you reckon we put pressure on him?
Yeah, the Langford
double-double. He's like, double, I'm on double, the double-double. Yeah. I can't.
He should have passed it. But also, like,
a stringer.
Down the other side, there was Collingwood players just fucking kicking out of bounds on the full.
Mychek had two shots when I thought, oh, this is the game. And he missed both of them from opposite pockets out on the full.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I don't feel bad about Langford because also we kicked that goal. There's still a minute 10 left. And Collingwood fucking, because Collingwood already thought they'd won when Langford was like lining up. Like, I was standing next to Collingwood supporters at this point, had abandoned my seat, was just in standing. And there was people next to it that were celebrating the win.
I'm excited to hear about your game.
Yeah.
Because I love the Anzac Day game.
Yeah.
And I would love to have watched it, but Tom and I were actually busy that day.
We were doing some hard work for Skatey Boys new episodes every Friday.
Oh, mate.
You know what we're doing? We're putting in the hard work to make sure there were new episodes every Friday.
That's right. Someone's got to do it.
So it's got to be us.
How many movies did you watch that day?
We watched two films that day.
Yeah. Four episodes.
We watched a new release in the cinema. And we watched a very old movie.
Yes, the new release in the cinema is actually this Friday's episode. So if you're listening to this when it comes out, the
Skatey Boys
episode on Friday in two days will be Abigail. So go to the movies. Go see Abigail and listen to the episode.
Made by the Radio Silence team.
A fun, bloody
What's
romp.
The movie I'm thinking of?
Ready or Not.
Ready or Not and the two most recent Scream films.
Yep. It's a bloody romp. As in emphasis on the word bloody.
And the second film that we watched, you will have to be a Patreon subscriber to see that one because they will fit in our Hammer Time segment.
We watched the films
that's
of
$5 a month. That's $5 a month and that's, Tom, it's bloody worth it.
We always joke about it being the beefiest Patreon. It really is.
I think it is.
If you're a vegetarian, we apologize.
Yeah.
If you are like, Abigail, what's that? Don't watch the trailer.
No, don't.
Don't read anything about it. I'll tell you, they made the movie thinking that you don't know anything about it. Yeah. And that's the best way to take it in.
Also, if you're a fan of horror movies and you're like, oh, M. Night Shyamalan's got a new film coming out.
Don't watch the trailer.
Don't watch the trailer for Trap either.
Oh, I haven't and I won't.
It's weird because it's an M. Night Shyamalan film. The twist that's in the trailer, I'm going to assume, is not the twist of the movie.
I'm assuming it's also not the twist of the movie, which makes me interested to see what the twist of the movie will
double
be.
Double twist.
Yeah, I got some theories
He did that in The Beast That Makes You Old.
Okay. Yeah. I've still got to watch that one, which we will do this year, I think.
Old's fun. M. Night Shyamalan makes fun, stupid horror movies.
Do you know who's being a piece of shit in that movie? Rufus Sewell.
Rufus Sewell knows no other way.
No.
He's so good at it.
See, I reckon we've been talking about doing a bit of M. Night stuff for Scaredy Boys because he does a lot of goofy shit. And I will say this. I've watched a lot of interviews with him. He loves it. Like, he loves doing stuff, and I'm happy that he's
putting himself in the movie.
He loves people getting around. I love the people getting around him. I think he deserves a bit of a reappraisal. He's not going to make an Oscar winner every time because that's not his job. He's there to make goofy
shit. Maybe never again.
It
is crazy that The Sixth Sense was nominated for Best Picture.
I've never seen it.
It's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, we should do it for Scaredy Boys.
Yeah, we do it every Friday.
Actually, do you know the twist for that?
I do, yeah. I know.
There's two.
One.
Yeah.
There's two.
Yeah.
I only know one of them.
No, you know both.
You know both.
One of them is a famous line.
Yeah.
Because that is not revealed until way later in the movie.
Okay. Is that a twist? That's the one I'm. So, can I say the line?
Yeah, it's a very famous
line. I mean, is the line, I see dead
people? Yes.
Okay, is that a twist?
Yes.
Okay.
To a degree.
The beach making you old is a twist.
I thought that was the whole premise of the film.
Yeah, but they don't play, like, it's more that the kid's fucked up for about half of it, and it seems like the kid's haunted, but you don't really see anything, and then he's like, hey, here's my secret, I see dead people, and then you, the audience, start seeing
it. I'm going to find that tedious to watch, I think.
No, I mean, Bruce rewatched it recently.
I do love Bruce.
Knowing the twist, Bruce's performance is very weird and off-putting. And, like, so if you don't know the twist, you watch it, that happens. You're like, whoa, that's a weird performance. But when you know the twist, you're like, oh, yeah, obviously.
Okay, I like that rewatching it. I've only seen it once, but rewatching it confirms
the twist makes sense.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of cool.
It's just so obvious.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll do it this year, Tom.
Yeah, we'll do a lot of M9, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's got that new On the Watcher coming out.
Well, no, that's his daughter,
right? His daughter, right. Yeah.
His daughter
he's making Trap.
He's making Trap.
Josh Hartnett. Hey, he's back.
Josh is back.
He's
I love Josh.
You could watch maybe the first half of the trailer and then just
stop. No, I don't. I'm in. I'm already in.
Yeah,
M9
that's true.
And Josh.
Yeah.
What more could
Josh Hartnett in a leading role, Sean?
Oh, that's beautiful.
I can tell you the premise of the film that's not the twist.
Don't
like,
is
in
know.
Like the loose. You don't want to know anything?
No, I think I'm happy.
You know everything
just,
you need to know.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
M. Night and Josh.
Yeah.
They should do it more often.
They should. Speaking of Trap, you know it was a trap watching the Wednesday night game? Because that game sucked ass.
Oh, I forgot all about it. I thought Joel's game was first.
No. Unfortunately, there was a game before. It was bad.
Should we just briefly honor a legend? Rory Sloane.
Yep.
Rory Sloane.
Normally, well done, Rory.
Yep.
Normally, this kind of news would have broke the minute we left the recording studio.
Yep.
But now we got it pretty
He's
hot.
One of the good boys out of the Adelaide Crows.
I was thinking
about
it.
The only one.
No, there's a couple of others.
Who?
They're not there anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Charlie Cameron.
Eddie Betts.
Oh, yes.
Eddie. Danger. One of the good boys out of the Adelaide Crows. No, he's a good boy. Andrew McLeod.
I love Andy McLeod.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Sam Jacobs.
No, not a fan. I'm not a fan. I just don't care about
him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else is.
That's probably enough. I think it's
Dodra?
Rory Sloane. Fuck him.
Tony Modra?
Nah, fuck him.
Oh.
Rory Sloane, legend.
Yeah.
So he hasn't played all year, has he?
So no, he's a detached retina basically last year.
It's
came back
twice,
and played.
Apparently.
And then he happened again in preseason.
Okay.
And basically I think the doctors were like, look, if this happens again, you might lose sight in that eye.
So he just went, that'll do.
I think so, yeah.
I've been awesome.
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Yeah.
I don't have to play with Tex anymore.
Yeah.
I liked watching him train with goggles on, though. That was pretty cool.
He said the goggles wouldn't stop the retina from detaching again, so it was just...
Yeah, it's kind of like a helmet and concussion, where like the retina detaching is more of like a stopping and starting. Yeah. Oh, sorry, going and then suddenly stopping thing.
Different. I was reading a thing that was like different to the Mason Cox one because he's like a cornea issue and the glasses protect anything getting in there or damaging it again, I believe.
With the retina, yeah, it's inertia. So enjoy footy heaven, Rory Sloane.
Yep.
You're up there with some greats.
Mm.
Josh Green.
Yeah.
Mitch Brown.
Cale Hooker.
Louis Taylor.
Louis Taylor.
Squizzy Taylor.
Squizzy Taylor.
Beautiful. So yeah, Wednesday night. This had opening round vibes.
Yep, and then it was a bad game.
It was a bad game. No one was running for half of it. Like, it legitimately felt like a practice game.
They kept kicking it to one another. Like,
yeah.
Every time they'd get intercept possession on halfback, and then Richmond would kick it to the halfback line of Melbourne, who would intercept it, and then kick it back to the halfback line of the Richmond Football Club.
Richmond are decimated with injuries.
Yes.
Well, and Melbourne are just, frankly, a terrible team.
They woke up in the second half and did what they should have been doing
all
game.
A bad team. Yeah. As nearly every team is.
That's true. Yeah.
That is fair.
Yeah, there may be an update this week.
Oh.
There might be at least, there's at least one good team.
Yeah?
Yep.
I'd have to look and see if there's more than one good team.
All right.
So I'll next week, right. Melbourne.
Will you let us know who the good team is?
Yeah, of course. I'll let you know now. It's the Giants.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
Next week, Melbourne are playing Geelong at the MCG two weeks in a row. Yeah. You guys going to be jet lagged?
I think so. We should have stayed in Melbourne.
You're going to go again?
Sorry? I'll answer that question. You go first.
I just remembered something. We got some intel about this.
Yeah.
I do have audio that accompanies this. And
I know this?
Yeah, you know this as well. I'm going to see if I can find the audio, and because I want you to explain this now knowing that Geelong are playing two games in a row at the MCG.
We were agreeing that the players at Geelong and coaches and all those people who want to see them win would rather than play even the big clubs like Collingwood at home, at Kadinia, but the AFL obviously would never allow that, but also, you know, the stakeholders and shareholders of Geelong who are all just there to make heaps of fucking money, they would rather big primetime games in front of 100,000 people at the G, not at Kidinia Park.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas was then trying to tell me that Geelong operate at a loss financially if they play at the G compared to when they play at home, so that doesn't make sense. And that it's a disadvantage to Geelong financially to play at the G, not just from a...
You can start the recording.
No, because he's actually taking me out of context and he's incorrect.
And he can rebut it as much as he likes.
The man that was interrupted at the end there, that was the snake man.
Yeah. The snake man.
So the point I was making to him is, I didn't say Geelong make a loss when they play at the MCG.
Uh-huh.
I said that they make more money when they play games at GMHBA.
Even when there's nearly 90,000 people?
This Saturday is probably an exception, potentially, but also, hear me out, games at GMHBA, everything that they make at the ground goes back to the club, whereas at the MCG, you've got to pay the MCC to use the ground. There's external contractors that are paid by
the
MCC.
What's the percentages, though?
Like, I don't know what the percentages are.
So do you get 100% of the GMHBA stuff versus like 50% of the MCG?
Maybe it's not 100%, wouldn't be 100%, because there's still external contractors like caterers and stuff.
Do you get 50% of the MCG take?
No, you wouldn't.
What would you get?
I don't know what the percentage would be, but you'd get basically.
So it could be more than 50, though.
It is more financially viable, right, in terms of making a profit. They don't make a loss at the G, they make money at the G. Mm-hmm. They make more money with home games.
Would you not suggest.
That's been their whole thing. Their whole thing is play home games at home.
Would you not.
That's all I'm saying on that.
It's play home games at home because it's a match day advantage.
A match day advantage, but also it's financially better
financially,
for us to play games at home.
Tom, anytime that you're playing at the MCG and it's a home game, it's because they're expecting a massive crowd.
Yes, but we have to split more of that money.
Yeah, but
they still make a profit.
You surely don't lose money playing at the MCG.
I didn't say they lose money. I said we make less of a profit than if we played at home.
Does it balance out, though, by having a bigger crowd? Because why would Geelong accept this?
They have to.
Why would this be a thing that they cop?
So at the start of the year, they want to play every game that they get. At the start of the year, Geelong say we want all of our home games at home, and the AFL say no.
So Geelong just cop it in the neck that the AFL say, fuck you, fuck your home ground,
yep.
You're going to come and play here, and you're going to be worse off financially for it. I don't think that's possible.
You don't think that's possible?
I don't think that that's possible that a club would accept that.
That's like if it's a club's like, oh, like we're playing our home game in Tassie or something like that, and the AFL's like, you have to pay for your own airfares. Like, why would they do that?
Geelong have always wanted home games because
they're more likely to win.
They want to win, but also there was like an interview with Simon Lloyd like halfway through last year where he's like,
"Oh,
it makes
that's a mistake because you've now said a name."
It wouldn't be Simon Lloyd. He's our footy operations guy. It'd be fuck. Who's the guy I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
That nerd with the glasses.
He was at, yes.
Yeah. The guy who was the operations.
He was the head operations of the AFL. Fuck.
I don't know. He works for your club, mate. I don't know him.
He was at Geelong. Then he went to the AFL and he's come back to Geelong.
Yep.
Anyway, he was being interviewed and he said that they make more money at home.
So now he's back and he's running the club into the ground by accepting MCG fixtures.
I don't think
the math stands up on it.
I think the way it works is that Geelong, every club puts in their wish list and the AFL honours some of it. You don't get everything you ask for.
Of course.
And I think part of that is Geelong have to play home games at the MCG.
I don't think it's financially they're copping it financially for doing so.
I'm not saying it's significant. I'm not saying it's a loss. I'm still saying they are making money, but they make more money at home.
Do you reckon they would have made more money at home or at the MCG on the weekend?
I don't know.
I think I know. I think it's the MCG.
And Tom, I think you really need to find this article because you sound like a fuckwit.
I'll stand by it.
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
Boys, I back my sources.
You can't even name your sources.
No, I'm allowed to.
Find them.
Steve Hocking. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Let's just quickly figure this out before we get to.
We don't have time for this. We've got to talk footy.
This is footy.
Are we moving on to the draw?
This is what matters. This is
Steve
football.
Steve Hocking. So what do you reckon the interview is about? And when was it?
Just say like home ground finance maybe.
When would this have been?
I reckon it was last year.
You reckon? Was it the year before?
Could have been the year before too.
Yeah. Could have been this year?
Definitely wasn't this year. Mm. Yeah, definitely wasn't this year. I reckon it was last year.
Okay, so was it an AFL? Was it a Geelong website article? Was it a Herald Sun article?
It was online, so I'm assuming either AFL or Geelong.
Yeah, okay.
Could be Fox, Woody.
Jesus.
All right, so do you reckon it was after he was chief executive?
Yeah, it was when he came back to Geelong.
Yeah, so when he came back. So he came back in 2021.
Sorry, I shouldn't answer for you, Tom. Is that correct or not?
Yes, it's when he came back and he's at Geelong now.
Yeah, because when Joel asked you, you looked like a deer in the headlights from that.
Well, I hesitated at chief executive because I don't think he's ever had that title.
No, well, that is his title.
At Geelong.
Is that his title at Geelong?
Yes.
Oh, God. He doesn't even fucking know the guy's job.
Is he our CEO?
Yes.
Cut his microphone off and end the investigation. Tom failed.
I didn't even know that.
They make more money at the MCG.
Yep.
I don't think we do.
You did on the weekend.
We might have on the weekend, but I think we've never had a crowd that size before.
Yeah.
Like ever.
That's Carlton for you.
Even against Collingwood, we haven't had a crowd that size.
Yeah, that's Carlton. Biggest club in the land.
Yeah.
Can I say, we'll get to this when we get to the game, when the biggest club in the land is rowdy, Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's the worst.
They are insane. Collingwood are Collingwood, right? They're noisy and the sound seems insidious. There's something about the Carlton noise that's just a wall. It's just brute force. Mm. And there's drums and there's like instruments. Bataki ham.
Oh.
What's the ham that they have? I can't remember now.
It's not Bataki, but
it's like old Nonno's ham or something is the brand. Like it has the thing. It's like just like Nonno or something. Yeah.
Was that for every goal or something?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Was that coming up? Wasn't that your home game?
No, that didn't come up at our game, but you know the vibes there.
Okay.
Like the energy of that is still happening even if the logo
sure,
is not there.
Because sure,
Sean,
yeah.
You know that's what's there. You know that they're charged up by ham.
Mm.
We've got to go back a game though because we've got to talk about Joel's game before we get to my game.
I'm getting closer to sniffing out this interview, I reckon.
Okay. So
Tom, how are you doing?
How's things while in life? We wait. They're pretty good. I was about to ask, do you have a new phone cover, Sean?
I actually do. I was in Officeworks getting some art supplies the other day.
Yep.
And they were selling these for a dollar. And I had a really old one that I meant to buy like a This is good podcast chat.
Yeah.
I meant to buy one on Amazon because mine was like, it was just getting dirty and it was cracked and it was shit.
Yep.
And this was a dollar and I just
took the plunge.
Fuck it, why not? It's not my usual style.
I was going to say, it's very Geelong coated.
You reckon?
It's blue and white, isn't it?
It's hard to tell what colour this is in this light.
It looks navy.
Almost like a zebra sort of pattern.
It was very funny at the game, actually.
But anyway, a dollar, so I'll cop it.
Oh, you know what? Actually, this is a good opportunity to talk about this thing when we're talking about my brother. So rang Dad on the drive here to talk about some footy, sure. Talk a bit of fantasy stuff, and then realized I was playing him this week, so I can't talk to him about fantasy stuff. And then
Hope he beats you.
My dad does this thing where if one of us is on the phone to him and the other son rings, he'll put the first son who rings on hold, answer the phone, and then merge the call into a three-way chat.
Love
That's
that.
Big.
Yeah. He loves it. So he goes, oh, hang on, your brother's calling. I'll put you on hold. I'm like, you don't have you. Anyway, the hold music. I don't know if you ever heard hold music for iPhone. It's like really xylophony.
Okay.
Anyway, the hold music kicks in, and then all of a sudden the hold music ends, and he goes, here we go. How's this? And I just hear Jacob go, oh, for fuck's sake. Loves merging a call. Yeah. Anyway, he then just like stops talking, and he just listens to Jacob and I talk. Yeah, I think he just likes the
that's nice
being part of the conversation. Yeah. And then my mother comes in, she goes, what's going on? Dad's like, oh, we're all here. He was pretty happy with himself. That's so, cool. Yeah, that's what's going on in the Reed household.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you found an article?
I haven't found the actual article, but I found someone on Reddit reference what you've said. So Steve Hocking has said that Geelong Football Club make as much money from 15,000 people at GMHBA Stadium as 75,000 people at the MCG.
Thank you very much.
I do not believe that.
Show me the numbers, motherfucker. He's talking shit.
I don't think it's...
Lucky he's not in charge of the AFL anymore. He was running it into the fucking ground with that with those numbers. That can't be right.
He's done a pretty good job since he came back to Geelong. We won a premiership. We died last year, and we're doing pretty well this year.
Yeah, whatever. That sounds like fucked logic from him, I reckon.
That just
can't be right.
That's why it resonated with me.
So you're copying an enormous loss then every time you do it. How is this acceptable?
It's the AFL, Sean.
I think he's full of shit.
Yeah, Tom, I need you to find this interview. It doesn't look like it was print, which is...
So that was someone's opinion on Reddit.
So someone on Reddit was like, I found a Reddit thread that was like, hey, Geelong have to start playing games at GMHBA Stadium because they've just redeveloped it. And it's like crazy that they've done so many that are away from home. And then people are like, oh, I don't know, like it's good for Geelong to be playing at the MCG. And then someone replied with like, Steve Hocking is on record as saying this.
Show us the record.
Well, search that quote and Steve Hocking.
But they didn't quote it. They just threw the numbers that he said.
Yeah.
I already had the information.
And they probably heard it from their dad who heard it on SEN. Man, and I can't it's
believe,
been warped.
I can't believe while you're digging on Reddit, you found my burner account.
Tom is Steve Hocking.
Yeah.
Thursday afternoon at the MCG in front of 93,000 people.
Joel, how are you?
I was very bad. And then I was good. Then I was bad. And I think the best way to describe it was when I was walking out of the MCG, I walked past an Essendon supporter on the phone saying, yeah, probably should have won that one. Actually, maybe we should have lost. Actually, I reckon the draw was probably the right result.
I don't think a draw is ever a right result, is it?
No.
I will say this. One thing I fucking hate every time a draw happens is... It's time to get rid of the draw, everyone. Oh, everyone, the draw's bad. The draw's fine. There was
honoring the Anzacs with 100 minute silence after the game. Yeah. No.
Powerful stuff. One thing, because there was minute silence at all the games this rank for the Anzac Day stuff. One thing that happens is a trend that I noticed and have noticed before and was pointed out to me by my partner at the game I was at on Saturday. Whenever there's a minute silence, you get about 30 to 40 seconds in. And then someone coughs, and that cough spreads.
Yeah.
One person coughs, and then there's cough, 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 like everywhere.
Actually, at the MCG, we didn't have any coughs, but I reckon it's because the silence is broken by a crying baby, which I heard from, I reckon, the opposite side of the MCG.
It's pretty – we've been to an Anzac Day game. It's pretty eerie when
should
it goes –
should have an Arch Barker and kick that baby out.
Fuck off, baby.
Yeah.
Just
Peter Wright should have gone and done what he did to James Rowbottom or whatever it was to the baby.
Just on the Arch Barker thing. Yeah. Insanity that's been picked up as – it's just like common sense. Yeah.
Don't take a baby to the fucking comedy show.
Out of the comedy show.
I have no problem people are like, oh, but babies are allowed to go places. Babies can go to cafes, pubs, shopping centres, 100%.
Breastfeed live, wherever you like.
Breastfeed
that's
wherever the
also
fuck you
totally
want.
Fine.
Live music. And like I was talking to my brother who's got – kids,
yeah,
and he's like, I wouldn't do that. That's wild.
I reckon I kicked a mom and baby out of the cinema at least once a week because it's like, hey, if your baby's crying,
I understand the cinema thing slightly more because there's no one performing to you live. So if you don't care about the audience, that's whatever.
Yeah, but you going in there and not giving a shit about
Everyone in that room is paying money for an experience, and you are taking that experience away from them.
It's one of those things.
If you want to, look, if you wanted to walk in with a baby, not give a shit, and then give everyone in the audience $3 and be like, I'm going to take $3 away from your experience today, so I'm rebeating you.
I just think with the comedy show thing, it's kind of like that stand-up comedy relies so much on timing and rhythm and all that stuff, and that can just be fucked by a crying baby.
Yeah, it's also very funny that the version of the story was like, he kicked me out for breastfeeding from like news outlets, and then people who were at the show were like, nah, he didn't. He was actually handled it really well. And then he got in a fight with what's-her-name, Erin Molan, on the fucking radio. Mm. And I hate her so much because she sucks and her dad is a cunt. I don't know if he's dead or not. Anyway, she sucks.
And then on the project, they interviewed the mom.
And the baby cried for all the interview. They had to cut the interview early.
Yeah, so that's pretty funny. And the project were trying to be on her side.
When I was a teenager, Arj Barker came to my town. Whoa! Which is pretty weird because normally he would perform in the cities. Mm. He came out to the town and did like a big show, and I always remember liking him because the person in the crowd who he chose to give a bit of a hard time to was like the most psycho fucking dad at school. Like, these kids are afraid of him because he's a psychotic maniac, and Arj Barker really let him have it all night. It was good. It was good. That's good. It's good stuff. For the town.
Yeah, yeah. The town went, fuck you, Darren. anyway, speaking of fuck you, so, like, was the vibe fucked?
The vibe was, so, like, it was fucked at first. I was literally sitting in the very, very back row of the MCG.
Okay.
No one behind us, just wall and a drop.
I reckon that when we went to Anzac Day together a few years back, we were right up top too, weren't
we? So, right, literally the very back row.
You were on the last row.
The very last row.
I don't think I've ever sat last row.
Can you see, is it the windows there too? You can actually see out, can't you? Yeah.
Does the back of the G have the little circle windows?
Yeah. Yeah. That's on the southern side, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Side's got like just windows.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we were sitting on just the window side.
What's the view? What are you looking at out there?
Sort of like the city and directly outside the MCG.
Yeah.
Mm. I was mostly facing the other way though and looking at the game.
Yeah, no, I probably would have looked the other way though at certain points and been like, how far is this jump?
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. So but I was sitting
when Nick Hine fell over and Bro Mercury kicked that goal, did you go, I reckon I could break through this glass.
Well, I can headbutt the glass.
The last quarter I watched from the standing area on level one. So at that point, it was
level one.
You were like, I've got to walk all the way back to my seat, I think, and then get back down to level one very quickly.
Yeah, take the expressway down. So yeah, basically Essendon kicked the first five goals. And I'm like, I can't believe what's happening. But also, I'm excited for each individual goal. I'm not at all considering
the cumulative effect of those goals.
No, because I'm like, it's Collingwood. They start shit, they'll come back, and
you never want that run to happen at the start of the game.
No.
You want it in the premiership quarter.
Yeah.
Or at the end of the game.
Or like the last quarter, yeah.
Well, actually, I wouldn't have even liked it in the third quarter, because last year on Anzac Day, that's when we rolled in.
You're right. You want to kick the last five goals of the game.
Yep. Well, that run did happen, but then it was followed immediately by another two-goal run.
Yep.
Yeah, so basically Essendon kicked six goals in the first quarter. Collingwood kicked two, including one very late. Classic Essendon. Although I saw stats about that this
Yeah,
this
you're
week.
Not the junk time. Fuck, who was it? I read the same article.
Essendon's like sixth or seventh.
Oh, who's the worst in junk time? It's probably Brisbane, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's, I think it was like the Bulldogs or someone wild like that.
Someone has conceded nearly 200 points.
Jesus.
It's not North. No.
No, it's North, Hawthorn, and West Coast are like in the bottom four, but the fourth team, it is. It's Western Bulldogs.
It's Western Bulldogs, yeah. They ship points late.
Yeah, okay. It's because they can't defend.
Yeah. Essendon was like sixth or seventh, which is good because usually I reckon we're last or highest, depending on which way you want to look at it. Anyway, next quarter, Essendon kick one goal five. Awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
To Collingwood's four goals five. And we go into halftime 1 point up.
We that's I think when we came out of the movies and I checked in the score and I was like, it's halftime. Joel will be wanting to die.
Yep.
And then at three quarter time, Collingwood's 1 point up.
what a game to be like a bit of a flurry at the start, then 1 point at halftime to Essendon, 1 point the other way to Collingwood at three quarter time, and then the end, draw. That's like, that's pretty juicy.
Collingwood kicked the first goal of the last quarter, and I'm like, all right, I think we are in dangerous territory here. Then Essendon kicked three in a row just out of nowhere. I can't believe what's happening. Mm. Then Collingwood kicked two goals, and I'm like, how long's left? 15 minutes. Fuck. And then no one scores for 15 minutes.
Yep. And then Kyle Langford kicks
takes
a point.
A mark 30 meters out directly in front, sprays it.
And Zach Merritt then won the medal, and in the photo of him with the medal, his eyes look empty. it's very Nathan Buckley
0-2. Yeah,
When he won the Norm Smith but lost the premiership.
I think when he walked down off the podium, he immediately ripped it off his neck.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. At first, I was relieved. Mm. And I was, like I said, I was in standing. And when I was in standing for that last 15 minutes, there was a couple of, there was a bunch more Collingwood supporters than there were Essendon supporters. And the Essendon supporters were pretty quiet because we knew what was probably going to happen.
Yes.
Where Collingwood supporters also thought they knew what was probably going to happen and were very lippy about it.
They were wrong. Mm.
We had Pies supporters trying to steal the Essendon chant and change it to, so there's like the "we are Essendon, we are Essendon." They were just doing that but saying Collingwood instead.
I hate when rival fans do that.
Mm. Your own thing.
Even like, I'll be at the footy and you'll hear like, "Brisbane," and then the other fans are like, "Suck. Suck," stuff like that. I'm like, shut up. Just let us have something.
So that was happening. Anyway, the siren, like, they're talking to each other very loudly about how Essendon are shit, and there was they had no chance this whole game. And then Kyle Langford sprays it. They get real excited, but they don't know how long's left.
Yeah.
So they're expected to go coast to coast. They don't. Siren goes. One of them's holding a can of Canadian Club that has, like, freshly been cracked. Oh, and he just cracks the shits and just throws the can directly into the ground. But, like,
into the ground?
Yeah. Because we're standing behind the seats. Like,
it's into, like, concrete.
Yeah. And it just went everywhere. And he just stomped off with his friends. And he was like, fuck this!
Did it hit people?
No. Okay. Oh, the liquid, yeah, a bit. But
motherfucker.
Whatever.
What a piece of shit.
He was That's so rude. It was rude. But
Did you cop it?
Yeah, a little bit, but to me, it kind of felt like I copped tears.
It was a win.
Yeah. Okay. You're letting these tears, they're delicious. Yeah. Tastes like Canadian Club.
And then at that point, I was like, oh, yeah, that felt like a win. But as it settled, I'm like, yeah, we were the only team to score in the last 15 minutes. Maybe we should have won. But then also, I know what Collingwood are like, and the moment they're 5 points down and they know that there's a minute left, they go turbo. Yeah. Where Essendon fall over in moments like that sometimes. So
you actually to weather their rebound, was quite impressive.
I don't know if Essendon are a good team. I don't think they are, and I don't think we're going to make finals. But that got dangerously close to Essendon beating Collingwood, and fucking everyone would have been like screaming finals. So maybe this is the best possible thing that could have happened at this point.
You know,
especially because we've got West Coast this week with a freshly rested Harley Reid, and we're playing at Optus Stadium.
Oh, that's a juicy game.
That is a danger game for Bombers.
Is that match of the round? No, Collingwood play Carlton.
That's on Friday night. And there's a showdown as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Showdown Thursday night. Clash.
Yeah, this is... Man, I reckon Essendon West Coast is... footy's fucked you up, man.
Yeah, big time. Joel, I don't think you're a good team yet. Could play finals, though. Who knows?
So GWS is the only good team?
Sydney are on the verge.
Are there any other teams? Yeah, what teams are on the verge? Just Sydney?
Just Sydney.
Okay.
Yep. For now. I can't think of anyone else who's on the verge. Can you?
One.
What? Who?
My team.
Oh, no. They're not a good team.
7-0, mate.
Doesn't matter.
You can only beat who's in front of you.
Who have you played? No one.
Carlton?
Carlton is shit.
Righto.
And pretty injured.
You got a couple of games. The next
day?
And we're not.
Who are you missing?
We didn't have Tom Stewart or Danger for a half.
Who cares about Danger? He's a fucking skeleton.
Did you see how good he was before he went off injured?
That's what he does. He comes out and you go, gee, for a quarter, you go, fucking hell, he's the best. He's still so good. And then he's injured again.
I think.
What's the injury this time?
Hamstring again.
Old man.
Yeah.
Fucking retire.
No.
Yeah, fuck off.
Keep him going.
Whatever.
We can cover
bring him back. He'll be good. He'll come back. He'll be good for a half, and then he'll pull up sore again.
Yeah, we'll see.
Also, Jamie Elliott took Mark of the Year.
That was definitely Mark of the Year.
I've heard they're going to change the prize this year.
What is it?
It's currently something like...
Nothing, I think.
Who won last year? Was it the Adelaide guy? Whoever won last year or recently, it was like a year's supply of 4 and 20 pies.
Yeah.
And a pie warmer.
Yeah.
And apparently the player wasn't impressed by the prize and gave it to his old like childhood footy club, basically.
Yeah.
So the AFL are like trying to change it this year. I think it's going to be 10 grand or something.
Draper didn't get anything.
But Kane Corns was like...
Oh, that was goal of the year.
That was goal of the year.
Kane Corns was like, on the Sunday footy show, I think... Did Zach Butters win player of the year last year?
Yeah, they get a
they
car.
They gave him a $100,000 Lexus or something yeah, like that. He goes, if the Sunday footy show can give someone a fucking car, the AFL can.
Yeah.
So used apparently they haven't given a car since 2001.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was, because that's right. I remember Nick Dannanui being interviewed in like 2009 yeah, thinking he was going to get a car and it was a life supply of, a year a supply year of Weet-Bix.
Which is fucked. Like,
if you're getting up that high, you deserve a fight. Jamie Elliott got so high, he deserves a car. And Ben McKay deserves the Weet-Bix.
So a footy player...
For being the marker.
A footy player doesn't want a year's supply of food.
No.
Don't they? All their meals are fucking provided by the club anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give him a year's supply of crypto.
Ben McKay was pretty funny about it the next morning.
The Instagram post?
An Instagram post of not what I wanted to see first thing this morning. Just him on the front page of Jamie Elliott sitting on his head.
It's a huge mark. I will
say... He should win a prize too. Honestly, if you are the person who gets the hanger taken on them, you get the year's supply of Weet-Bix while they get a car.
For them to bulk up their strengths, it doesn't happen again.
The last winner would have been Gary Moorcroft in 2001. Yeah. We took the hanger on Brad Johnson's head.
I thought it's been a car for years.
That mark got played again recently on the Sunday Footy Show. Big mark.
Big mark. Elliot's one's great too because he gets up so high
on
a guy who's bent.
And he doesn't fuck it because he kicked the goal too.
I gotta watch this mark. I haven't seen it.
He dropped one, I've got some really bad news for you, mate.
But he missed a goal.
The editing on the mark
is
abysmal.
Oh, I don't want to watch
so it. So it's a wide shot of the ball coming into the 50 as he goes up, and they change camera angles to a low angle
I'm
from behind.
I'm happy to just imagine it. It's fun.
Have you seen the photo?
The photo's good.
Nah.
So you haven't? You've just heard about this mythical mark.
Yeah, I haven't
seen
it.
It's good. We're watching movies.
Oh, yeah. They... do a weird
They cut
the camera angle's not
the camera angle changes before the mark happens and it's really shit.
Doesn't matter. I don't need to see it.
It's not that bad. Here, I've got it here.
I don't need to.
You don't want to see it?
Yeah, I've given up.
Okay.
If it was the Bombers, great. We watched the last few minutes at least.
Yes,
we were sitting around the fire.
Yes.
Hectic final to that game. God. Woo. Anzac Day. What I want to say about it is because you kind of went, oh look, we took it up to Collingwood and all that.
Yeah.
Is it a bit like the showdown where it's like it kind of doesn't matter what form
because
you guys
lost.
Are in any year. It's Anzac Day. Both teams just sort of get
no, there's
for
definitely
it.
Been games where
there's
Essendon
been blowouts
have been bad.
And stuff. But like, do you know what I mean? Like some years it doesn't matter if Essendon's a shit team. They play a decent game on Anzac Day.
I mean like last year that
happened. Always a chance.
We're always a chance.
Yeah. Because of Anzac
Magic. The 6-goal Joe Danaher a year where you just lost as well where he just went bananas in the last.
Yeah, that was the finger twirling.
Finger twirl.
That's the one we were at.
That's the one we were at.
There was the one
Shame
last year.
Shame on you
year.
For booing a champion.
Yeah, that's it.
It was Buckley.
Yeah, you fucking idiot. They weren't booing him.
They were booing the umpires, you fucking moron.
I mean, like 2 years ago, we lost by 70 points.
Okay.
So
I'm probably wrong on that one.
Well,
Tom, that's what you do when you say something that's wrong. You think about it and go, yeah, I got that one wrong.
Sure, you know it's better.
I learned that from Kane Corns.
You know it's better?
Yeah.
Pivot. I learned that also from Kane Corns.
Kane Corns.
He's taught us everything. He's raised us.
Kane Corns.
He's our dad. Daddy Corns. Papa Kane.
Kane Corns was the first person that I heard in the media be like, Essendon aren't playing finals. So that made me feel better.
Don't you guys say it's the first voice you heard when you were born?
Yeah.
And he said Essendon aren't playing finals.
They were like, well, Essendon looked the real deal. Like, as in, like, they're not pushing for the flag, but, like, they're playing like a team that will be in finals footy. Like, you could almost, like, lock them in at this point. And Kane, like, looked at the thing and he was like, no. He was like, Collingwood, better team, we'll push them out of finals. Brisbane, shocking start, we'll probably make finals anyway. The season will come together for them. And he was like, Gold Coast, probably playing better football than Essendon. Western Bulldogs, got a better list. They'll probably make finals over Essendon.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Essendon will finish like 10th or 11th. Decent season. And then just everyone shut the fuck up after that.
That's pretty funny. So that's the draw. Sean.
Tom.
The floor is now yours to talk about whatever you would like to talk about.
Thanks. I want to briefly say the Giants, they're the best team in the comp at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
They're a very good team. They didn't have Sam Taylor or Toby Green or they missed Canelio. Like, fucking hell. Take that out. Take three top five or six players out of
their win loss record without Green too is psycho. Like when Toby Green's not in there, like in the team,
yeah, they lose.
They lose or like the percent. It's like let's say he's missed 20 games and they're like 16-4.
Yeah, it's funny because I would have looked at this on the fixture, an away game for Brisbane against the Giants, and thought, oh, we're a chance. It's going to be tough. And then you see that there's no Sam Taylor, there's no Toby Green, and you think no Canelio, and you think.
I tip Brisbane to bounce back.
I also tip Brisbane.
You guys are fucking crazy. Brisbane are shit. They're a horrendous team. They're 2-5.
Yeah. Sean, I know
season's
that.
Season's over. Window's closed. The only way the window will reopen is if Chris Fagan gets sacked. That is what I firmly believe.
Can I ask you something just about this before we move on?
Matthew Lloyd's on that.
Did you hear that?
It's only because they're off Broadway. Sorry, Tom. The media are not into him. We're into Bevo every fucking week. Every little wrong step he takes. Every selection fucking misstep or whatever.
I think it's
like Chris Fagan just got this charmed run and it's like it needs to end. Pressure's on, motherfucker. You've had the best list for years.
It started last week on Lordo. Footy Classified. Lordo was like,
good.
I don't know if he's the right man for the job, and I think that his legacy will probably be that this is as far as he can take this list.
Yep.
There you go.
I will say, yeah, the thing I think was most baffling and damning for Fagan is his own quote this week where he was asked about the game and he said something about in the second half. He was like, yeah, I just didn't know what to do.
I didn't watch his press conference because honestly, they make me want to rip my hair out.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know. He doesn't know what the problem is, and that's the problem.
Yep.
We're like 2 months into the season. What the fuck are you doing, mate?
Sean.
What are you doing?
Sean.
You fool of a man.
Sean.
What are you doing, Christopher?
Sean.
Tom.
What did you get up to on Saturday?
Saturday, I went Saturday, I went to the farm.
Mm.
My dad's away and I had to look after the cows, basically. I had to run the pump, Tom.
Oh, run the pump.
Some water, had to move them into a different paddock. Very peaceful out there. But Sunday, because Tom, as you know, when my team sucks shit, I need to make something with my hands.
Yes, this is your quest for peace.
It is. So my girlfriend sent me this thing recently, which was like, have you ever seen this? It's like a mini gallery wall for your dog.
Okay.
So imagine a gallery wall of frames that you have in your house.
Yep.
But imagine that where your dog's little water and food bowl station is, you have a little mini set of artwork. So I made that for my dog on the weekend.
Holy shit.
So I did six. I made six little mini frames and four photos and two of the other ones I got like stretched canvas and went around to visit the good brother Daniel.
Yep.
And got his two little kids to paint me a thing each. Oh. One painted a dog, one painted some tennis balls. Hung it up. I haven't hung it up because it was drying. I was painting it yesterday. I'll just show you a photo, actually.
That is, Sean, that is good shit.
That is magical.
I recommend.
That's real art gallery
shit. If your team's shit,
find a hobby.
Make an art gallery for your dog.
Just make something for your dog. Make something for anybody.
Oh, mate.
There we go.
That's really good stuff.
I'm going to hang that up where his little bowls are.
That's good stuff.
And he can appreciate it.
He'll love it.
I hope he does.
You've also got another book with you today.
Oh, that's just this is my favorite book of all time, I must say.
It is, yes.
You're well aware of this, Joel. This is The Snow Leopard by Peter Matheson.
Yep.
Is that
where your love for snow leopards started?
It actually did, yeah. I went to Nepal 10 years ago and I thought I need to take two books with me. I took Neil Gaiman's American Gods, which is a brick, and I took this one because it was set in the roughly in the place where I was going to be trekking through. And this is a non-fiction story from the 1970s about a man who has been through a great sadness in his life.
Yep.
And he's trying to find some inner peace of his own and goes on a scientific expedition into the mountains to a place called the Crystal Mountains in search, hopefully, of a snow leopard, which in the 70s, not many Westerners had ever seen them. It wasn't like now where you can see them at the zoo and people have photographs and videos and shit of them.
Yeah, notoriously hard to photograph.
So for him, it was like this mythical sort of quest. Can I see this thing? And it's just a fantastic book about, uh, about peace and about grief and about acceptance. It's kind of, it's got a bit of everything in it. I would highly recommend it. It is my favorite book. I love it. The Snow Leopard by Peter Matheson.
Beautiful.
Tom is a shark boy, and Peter Matheson has a book called
yes.
Blue Meridian, which is about the search for the great white shark.
And I've got that book. Yeah. I haven't read it yet, but I've got it. Yeah. I'm excited.
This is big.
Yeah.
I have no books about snow leopards or sharks, unfortunately.
Joel, what's your favorite animal?
Monkey.
Monkey? What kind of monkey?
I don't like...
Like a monkey or like a chimp?
Like an ape?
Or tail monkey?
Planet of the Apes sort of stuff? Or?
I do like Planet...
Those cheeky monkeys that steal your shit?
I do love cheeky monkeys too. Yeah.
Spider monkey with all arms.
Spider monkey's good. Don't love baboons.
Yeah, baboons frightening.
But I do kind
of... You're a primate guy.
Yeah, big primate guy.
Yeah.
Chimps, apes, even baboons, even though I don't like them, I do respect
orangutans.
Them. Orangutans are real good.
Yeah. Gorillas, obviously.
Yeah, big fan.
What's your favorite monkey movie? Because your favorite shark film is Jaws?
No, see, you want to know my favorite shark film?
Yeah. I'm surprised I don't know this.
It's probably late 90s.
You're going to say Deep Blue Sea, you stupid
fuck. No.
I love Deep Blue Sea.
My favorite shark movie cool J, is a late 90s story of David Attenborough working with a team of people in South Africa to track.
So a documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going narrative, but that's
no, right. Sean, I like my shark docs, yeah. Shark stories. Factual. Jaws is easily the best.
Yeah, okay. And Monkey Boy?
It's a tricky one.
Bait.
Shani Vincent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bait 3D.
Yep.
The Planet of the Apes, like the new trilogy of Planet of the Apes, yeah. Really, really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
I also am a big fan. I haven't seen the adaptation of it, but the comic book Why the Last Man, some good monkey action in that with Ampersand.
Yeah. Great comic book.
Great comic book.
If I had to pick a snow leopard movie, there aren't really any that I can think of. The one I would go with is Secret Life of Walter Mitty. It has a powerful snow leopard scene in it that I love.
I need to rewatch that movie.
I really love it. A lot of people hate it. I think it's fucking beautiful.
You'll never guess which camp I'm in.
Yeah,
I know you hate it. I need to rewatch it. That might fire up my Letterboxd account again.
Yeah, that'll be big.
Yeah.
My Letterboxd is also, for some reason, last month been dry.
It's funny because I was looking on it today, just while we talk about movies on our football podcast.
For the second time this week.
That's
and,
all right.
I've really barely watched anything that isn't Scaredy Boys podcast related in like the last 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm just in a real like rut with movies. And yet I've still watched more movies than both of you for the year.
Yeah, which probably.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah. I watched a lovely movie this week called Broker.
Yeah.
Really beautiful. By a Japanese director set in Korea.
Oh, yeah.
Bit of a found family thing.
Oh.
It's fucking wonderful.
I might add that to my list.
At both. Melancholically sad and upliftingly beautiful
in
equal measure.
All right.
Also has another, the director made another film that I quite liked as well called Shoplifters, which is also very found family and is also both hauntingly melancholy but upliftingly beautiful. Both 5 stars.
Okay.
Easy fives?
Yeah, easy. Yeah. There's a scene in Broker where I was like, oh, this is a 5.
That means they're strong 4s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a 3.5.
Yeah.
No, Shoplifters I'm really keen to see and I think I've seen Broker actually. I always get Broker and...
Broker's got, what's his name from Parasite in it? The Korean guy who's in fucking everything too.
I get really confused between Broker and Stoker.
Stoker is a different movie.
Stoker's with Matthew Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And written by Wentworth Miller. We were talking about this the other
Nicole
day.
Kidman.
Yeah.
That's directed by Park Chan-wook.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably why you're thinking of it. Because he's Korean. This is a Japanese guy.
Yeah. But
Park Chan-wook did Old Boy.
Yep.
Yes.
And The Handmaiden.
So I get those
and
two
Decision
movies.
To Leave.
Did you do The Handmaiden?
Yeah.
I got to watch that.
It is.
Violent.
Fucking. It's horny.
Okay. Yeah, it's horny. Isn't it also pretty violent?
I can't remember. This is the thing. It's so
the
horny.
Yeah.
I can't remember the violence. Like, it is so horny. Speaking of horny,
big
Jason
Dick
Horny
Dixon.
Francis.
Oh!
Thank you. He's going to need to step up in a big way because Connor Rosie is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Aaliyah Aaliyah is dead.
Mm.
That game was wild. So I think Port had one on the bench by the end of the game or two on the bench.
Yeah, so Sam Powell Pepper.
Knee.
For being a dog shit guy, he has unfortunately blown out his knee.
Yep.
Season done.
Aaliyah got...
Although...
Was it ACL?
Speculated. But the first person to talk about that and has come under fire... Because, fair enough, cunt thing to do. It was Ross Lyon.
What did he say?
He was the one who was taught. He was like, yeah, it looked like an ACL. He's probably done for the season. Like in his post-match presser.
Ross, what the fuck?
He is
a shit coach.
He is, and a shit man, and he's unraveling, I think. Do you reckon he knows yet that he's never going to be a premiership coach?
I think every day, Sean, he wakes up and
I think that that's settled in about round four.
St Kilda fans.
I think that settled in when he was still at Freo.
Do St Kilda fans
like him?
Well, not even that.
Believe that he's the guy?
Do they believe that they're a good team? And Eric Banner's not the best person to use here, but I saw him interviewed earlier this year where he seemed very sure the Saints were going to win the flag this year and maybe go back-to-back. And that he was going to play Ross Lyon in the movie version of it.
Can I say,
I know that he's a fanatical St Kilda fan, but does he genuinely believe that this is a team that's capable of doing anything?
Well, I think
we've got to reach out to our St Kilda man. We've got to talk to Matt Stewart. See what he's up to. See what he thinks.
I think the thing
he's off him probably.
He's been off him forever. He never tips him, does he?
I think the thing with St Kilda is that they achieved a lot more last year than people expected with a big chunk of their key players missing. They kind of did it with no one.
Yeah. And their list wasn't amazing. Ross Lyon kept talking last year about how we've got to make major changes to this list. Like all year. And then he traded out Billings and Gresham.
For what? Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Note I said nothing.
Thank you for Gresham, by the way. He's been very handy at Essendon this year.
But Carnage report. So Higgins got 3 weeks, but I think he's appealing it. I think he should get 3 weeks. What he did was really fucking stupid.
Two feels about right, probably.
He's a dumbass. Yeah.
He's a dumbass.
The people, I back Kane Corns on this, people going, oh, but I think Allier trying to kick the ball contributes to it. Shut the fuck up. Allier's job is to try to dispose of the ball.
Yeah.
Higgins is the one who slings him into the ground.
Yeah, his job is to
grabs his arm.
I only watched it once, so I haven't watched the replay or anything
it's
of it.
It's a really bad one.
Well, yeah, cop the three.
Yeah.
Save the money and don't fight it.
Yeah. Higgins is a moron. Feel bad for Port, because that's some... So Allier...
Every time someone challenges a MRO decision, one of those AFL journalists has to camp out at the tribunal and do the little fucking...
Yeah, it's always David Zeta.
Sometimes it's Michael Whiting, and they're always there for 5 hours.
And they're like, yep, that's... It's going longer than expected every week.
Yeah. They've been deliberating now for 78 minutes.
Yep.
I haven't pissed in 3 hours.
Just in case.
Do we need the live updates?
Yes. Because what they need it as it comes.
I just don't care.
I don't know.
Just tell us what happened.
The live updates are interesting because
I get the live updates when it's like a star player.
Yeah.
But like Jack Higgins, for instance.
No, but the live
updates. I don't
care.
Just tell me what happens.
The live updates kind of give you stuff where you're like, so for example, you're not going to love talking about this one because it is about one of your players, but the Charlie Cameron, he's a good bloke defense.
You have no idea how desensitized I've become. Talk about him all you like.
Well, the thing about the Charlie Cameron, I've got to say, that wasn't the whole defense. It was just part of the defense. The main defense was that Lever's arm was free. And that he contributed to his own.
Yes, Tom. But what you are currently talking about is the live updates, which is why the live update's good, because they play that card. You've got the journalists being like, whoa! But then you also have with the live updates on either side of that, leave his arms free.
Yeah.
Okay.
The live update.
Okay. I think where we've landed is I don't need to consume them.
No.
Yes.
But for people who love it and love the juice,
good thing.
Cop that Zeta.
I think that
Zeta seems like a good dude.
Is he a good guy?
I think he's a good dude.
All right, fine.
He loves schnitz.
Copping anyway.
Well, the paycheck's probably all right.
Let me do it. I'll sit at the tribunal. They don't actually go, do they? They just log into like the video.
I think they're at the Fox Studios or wherever it is. Yeah.
Or do they linger outside and go, oh, I'm hearing some whispers from outside. Apparently Charlie Cameron's a good man.
Tom Barras is not. Well, that's the issue is West Coast only used that as their appeal. They didn't try to argue. They said, oh, he's a good boy. And one of the, I'm pretty sure whoever was the person like overseeing
this
the
chair.
This
is more live update juice, by the way.
I think the person overseeing the chair
vindication,
was like.
They're good.
They tried to do like, he does lots of charity work. And the chair was like, a lot of AFL players do charity work. Move on.
All right, I'm back on. The juice is good.
Next game,
North Melbourne needs a sack. Alistair Clarkson.
He's not the guy.
He's not the man for
this. I've got
this.
A theory, and it's about Fagan as well.
I've got a fucking, before you play your theory, something that leans into this straight away. No, it's big, because Tom, I know you're going to say something. It'll be like a general statement or whatever. When Alistair Clarkson punched a hole in the wall of the coach's box, that was at quarter time. Where Hawthorn were up 36-20.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
that gives you an indication of what kind of man this man is.
This is during their three-peat era too.
They're fucking 16 points up at quarter time and you're getting so angry you punched a hole in the wall.
I would.
Yeah, yeah, I know you would.
You're not a well-adjusted man. You shouldn't be coaching a fucking football team.
I'm available.
My theory on Clarko and Fagan is not only are they like necessarily ill-equipped to take the teams to the next level they need to get to, I think they are not focusing on football at all because this whole high court racial thing is hanging over them. Mm. They're not. I don't feel like Fagan's heart is in this season because that's on him. I don't think Clarko's heart is in this season because that's on him.
Clarko, I feel like his heart is not in it. Fagan, I don't know. It's hard to say. As you know, I've been off Fagan for a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time has come.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, yeah. Well, here's the thing. North aren't going to do anything. They gave him a five-year contract.
Yeah.
He's the Messiah.
He's $1 million a year.
That's part of the problem because the cap, like the soft cap or whatever it is.
They've given him so much money.
They pay him so much they actually can't afford to pay
him out.
Like, no, well, not even to pay him out, but they can't. The support staff around him is lessened because of his huge contract.
But they go, oh, we don't need that much support staff around him
because we've got the gun, we've got the guru. But if you look back at his time at Hawthorne, he always had like a Fagan as a director of coaching. He always had good people around him. Now he doesn't. Now he's running the show.
He had good list managers. At Hawthorne, he had, oh, fuck, who's the...
Kane Corns has gone on record and said he's not a good coach.
Well, he hasn't been a good coach since when? Like 2016, maybe?
They made the finals in 2017. Maybe 2017 or so. He tried a rebuild on the run and it didn't quite pan out and he just sort of gave up.
Yeah. But that was like, you know, the better part of a decade ago.
Yeah. Mm. Kane Corns has said, you don't stay good at things forever. And Clarko is probably not a good coach anymore.
Yeah, I just think he's the wrong coach.
My dad used to be
a
really good like race car driver.
Mm.
Now he's an old man. And when you get old, your reflexes are fucked. Mm. So you're not as good at driving anymore.
You can't punch holes in the wall anymore.
Clarko, if you tried to punch a hole in the wall now, his entire hand would just be soup. There'd be nothing left. Can't do it. You lose your gift.
Just because it transitions nicely into this, but speaking of Hawthorne, and we're just going to jump to a random game just because the transition's so good.
Sam Mitchell saying if the score wasn't there, you'd be like, geez, those guys in the brown and gold are having a crack.
But also Sam Mitchell fucking losing his mind. He went full Clarko at Scrimshaw.
Yep.
Good.
Gave him a they were really bad. And this is obviously the last game of the round. Mm. Sydney absolutely fucking burnt them as they should, but Hawthorne didn't do shit. The idea that Mitchell's like, yeah, if the scoreboard wasn't there, we'd be like, what the fuck are these Hawks doing? They look so
Where'd
bad.
Where'd the scoreboard go is what I'm asking.
Why are they kicking goals? What's the point of this game if there's no score? We've gone soft. We used to be a country. I have one thing to say about this game, and it's actually not at all about the game, but about a player.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Will Haywood, who plays the Sydney Swans. Now, last week, throughout all the drama of the tribunal happening and debating the Hogan punch v. the Toby Green bump.
Yep.
Now, Will Haywood's Twitter and Instagram, his social media, is a fucking wonderful place. He is just posting whatever inane thought pops into his head.
Got any examples for us, Tom?
I do. I have the example he posted last week during all the tribunal debate where he wanted to know, he tweeted at the AFL tribunal on Twitter and wanted to know, how many weeks will the Walls of Jericho get somebody? The wrestling move, the Walls of Jericho.
What is that move?
You know the Walls of Jericho.
No, I don't.
Oh, fuck. I'm gonna show you a clip of the Walls of Jericho.
If we're in an audio format, how would you describe it?
I can't do it justice.
Okay, well, people will have to Google it.
People have to Google the Walls of Jericho. It's a fucking...
Did they respond?
I didn't see if there was a response. I just saw that he had... But this is an actual AFL player. Now, if you go into his Twitter and you just scroll a little bit more, he's got a lot of thoughts popping off. Yeah, okay. He's a fun little guy. And I just wanted to have a quick shout out. Will Haywood, I love your work. On the field, you're a good player, I assume. But off the field, you're a Brownlow medalist.
That's big. So everyone should go check that out. And Tom, you can report back soon when you found a good example.
Here's a example of the Walls of Jericho. Oh, it's got a fucking ad. A fucking sports bet ad. Fuck you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Fuck you, sports bet ad. We've got them on our podcast.
I didn't find a video,
again.
But is that
that's the walls of Jericho. Okay, you flip them upside down.
Okay, yeah.
Sit on their back, pull their legs back.
Yep.
In like a scorpion type maneuver.
Okay.
Got any other funny tweets from Will Haywood or just that one?
That's the one. I'm just saying, go and discover it yourselves. I just want to put it out there. Will Haywood, he's doing some good stuff.
What's his Twitter handle?
I'm going to look for it now. I typed in Hey Willwood. How do you spell Haywood? Here he is. Hey.
Is he Will underscore Haywood one?
That's him. Yeah. I'm following him.
So his pinned tweet is the walls of Jericho.
Correct.
His most recent tweet just says, got a bike.
Yep. And before that, how good is it when someone says thank you at a pedestrian crossing? If you're an F1 driver and lose your regular license, are you still allowed to compete? Movies must have subtitles.
I agree with that.
Sonny's on an airplane. Vomit emoji.
Is it possible? Hey, whoa, if you're sitting near a bright window, I'll allow it.
Is it possible to fill up an ice tray without dropping any water? And then next tweet, I have tinea. Next tweet, microwavable meals are so good.
What are these tweets from?
These are just all from like 2023.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. There's some Will from this Haywood. Year. So all these are like in the space of a month in 2023. Retweeted the photo of Nathan Cleary with Mary Fowler, and he just, because they're on the grass, he wrote, surely itchy back or what? Because Nathan Cleary's not wearing a shirt.
Yep.
Paper towels are better than the hand dryer.
Not very environmentally conscious of them.
People that don't eat the chocolate off the Magnums are so dust.
I'm on a holiday and miss my dog, Roger.
People that drink straight milk aren't well.
That's good. I back that big time.
Straight milk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Just one that says movie recommendations.
No, yeah. What?
Oh, where? Well, what have we got? He's asking for
some.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, what's he got? And is he replying to any of them?
Someone just said Roadhouse. Do birds get cold?
Great question.
The Toyota ad on TV is so catchy. I'm out to dinner with Paddy for his birthday. I assume Paddy McCartan. Just had a power outage, which sucks because I was watching TV.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I'm an island boy.
Just had a shocking coffee.
I'm massive on this setup and a photo of Adam Cooney on a TV show in 2021. Wonder what I should tweet next. Hezbollah for Prime Minister.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Okay, Wooly Sushi is heaps good.
Homeland is a sick TV show, etc.
Netflix.
Netflix.
And then, wow, dot, dot, dot. That was in 2020.
Wild.
Oh, here we go. Do sharks get thirsty, or what's the go with that? So I think we can all say, Will Haywood,
good
he's
tweeter.
Doing good work.
All right, Tom, we're going to go previous game to the one we just spoke about, which will bring us to end the show in your game. How
sounds
does that
good.
Sound?
That sounds good.
Gold Coast Suns defeated a valiant West Coast Eagles.
Jake Waterman is third in the Coleman.
Jake Waterman is maybe my favorite player outside of an Essendon player.
How many goals did he kick?
Four straight.
He's on a big run.
I think
run.
He's kicked like 14 or 15 in like three games.
Watch
he's
out, kicked Bombers. 15 in three games.
Next week, you're sweating?
Yes.
Yeah, he's in prime time form.
The only thing
when is your game next week?
Saturday night.
Saturday
night. What the fuck?
Yeah, we got a big rest.
West Coast in prime time.
Is there another game on Saturday night?
Yeah.
Geelong and Melbourne.
Yeah, Geelong and Melbourne.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I know which one I'll be watching. Harley Reid.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, I understand.
He's the future. met up with one of my high school. I met up with one of my high school friends who's a big West Coast supporter, and he'd kind of fallen out of love with footy a little bit recently.
Is he back?
And I was talking to him, and I was like, "Oh, so what do you think about Harley Reid?" And he was like, "Oh, he's so good." And then I realized that my friend was with his partner, and his partner was like, "Yeah, like." He just will occasionally be walking around the house and like do something and then just be like, anyway, so with Harley Reid and like, it's just bringing him up. Like it's consumed his entire life.
Oh, I love that. They needed
something.
He's
back on footy big time.
Well, it also shows that their injury list is starting to drop down a little. The players who were injured last year are getting a fresh run at it. Like, yo.
Better at like more in form.
Hey, yep. Is there a public holiday next Monday or something? Looking at the fixture. The final game of the round. 7:10 Sunday night, Brisbane versus Gold Coast. What the fuck is that?
Is there a public holiday in Queensland?
There must be. What did we recently have here? Did we have a Labor Day or something like that?
Just Anzac Day.
Could be Queensland Labor Day or something.
It is maybe. Queensland Labor Day on there the 6th of
because that, that rattled me. I was like, what the fuck?
That's all right. Wild.
That's weird.
Q clash at midnight.
Fucking crazy.
But yeah, West
Do a game at midnight, you fucking cowards.
Will they televise that?
They'll have to somewhere.
Do they have to do a Sunday game? How many do Channel 7 do now?
They don't have to do a Sunday game. They didn't this week.
Because they've got the, there's a Thursday night. So yeah. Channel 7, how many do they do though? Are they four? Doing four or are they doing three?
Well, what time are the Saturday games?
Is there that's not the question,
they're definitely going to do Thursday and they'll do Friday night. So there's
and,
two games.
And Saturday night?
Saturday. They have to do Saturday night. So they'll do that one. And then, so will they do a Sunday game? You've got 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock and 7:10. I have a feeling they only do three now.
What's on Saturday? Is there a 3:20?
No.
No.
I must be only doing the three.
Yeah, but do they do that every week now?
Don't know.
I haven't seen a lot of Channel 7 Sunday afternoon games anymore.
It's because of the Thursdays, I think.
I love a 3:20 Sunday.
Yeah.
Something to throw on where you just...
I've got a new favorite.
I'd take that over a Thursday night.
I've got a new favorite time slot and we'll get to it.
All right.
I like the Thursday night.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I never want to see Wednesday night footy.
Wednesday night footy's bad.
Yeah. Wednesday night footy confuses my brain so
it's
much.
Yeah.
I absolutely forget what
fucked.
Day it is. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Speaking of don't know what's going on, Bevo, Western Bulldogs lost to Freo. Embarrassing. Two shit teams. One team had to be worse, yeah. And it was the Western Bulldogs.
Freo's midfield finally went, and that Fife, you ready to go? And that Fife went, yep.
Wait,
went,
I'm ready to handball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready to
not ready to kick yet.
I'm not ready to kick it.
But I'm ready to attack the contest and handball creatively.
Well, that's the thing. If he's getting in there, it means he can get it out to the Sarongs and the Brayshaws, yep. Who were better on the outside.
I rated it. He was good.
Yeah.
Sarong had less kicks than Fife. Sarong had 10 kicks and 27 handballs.
Jesus. And Sarong's an in and under guy, though.
They are a bit handball happy.
And Fife had 12 kicks, 25 handballs.
Mm. Man.
Both laid four tackles.
Do you know who's still really good?
Alex Pearce. Alex Pierce is great.
Do you know what Bulldogs were trying to do? It was really interesting. Bulldogs went for a crazy strategy on Saturday night. They were like, what if we kicked it to Alex Pierce?
Hey, I didn't realise this at the time. So Luke Darcy was commentating this game.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Bulldogs board member. His son was playing the game. Channel 7 did a weird thing, though, where he wasn't the commentator. He was special comments. I haven't heard him do for fucking years.
Was it funny to hear him special comments be like, my son's kicked a third goal.
No. Because I just jumped in and out of the game a little bit, and every now and then I'd be like, I'd hear Alistair Nicholson, and I'd be like, wait a minute. I thought I heard Bennett before. Because I'm definitely hearing Darcy as well. I'm like, what the fuck's going on in this game? Darcy was doing special comments.
That is wild.
I think that was a Channel 7 thing because his son is playing.
Is he doing special comments because people are sick of him being a commentator and he is shit?
I think it was purely because
he got bumped off the primetime stuff during Gather Round.
Did he?
He got shunted to like dog shit. Central.
He's usually the Saturday night caller. I think I think that's not incorrect, Tom.
Saturday night he didn't call the Bulldogs game, Geelong Bulldogs. He didn't call it.
I don't know what's going on there.
We watched it for Gather Round. He did not call that game.
Which game did he do? Did he do the Friday night?
I think
or
he did.
Night?
No, I think he did the Sunday.
You say you think. I don't trust this.
But he definitely didn't do the Saturday night game.
I've never heard him. I haven't heard him do special comments since he started in commentary.
Yeah, me neither.
I will say though that Gather Round,
I think it's because he's shit.
He's better special comments than he is an actual play caller.
And can I just say this? He's not very good at special comments either.
He's terrible and he should.
Luke Darcy's brain also exploded in Gather Round. So if he wasn't on Saturday night, it might have just been to let his brain cool down.
Kane wins again.
Yeah.
Suddenly next year, Channel 7 announced their Saturday night caller every Saturday. Kane Corns.
Occasionally I'll listen to SEN while I'm driving. I love when Kane does special comments.
He's really good.
He's a more, because you know how Darcy had a go at him for being like very negative and stuff. He's very positive when he does these special comments.
Yeah.
It's like post game when he's watching replays and stuff and analyzing like his deep cuts.
But also,
during a game, he's like, you know, the Carlton one, for instance. Carlton are losing and they were going to lose. But he's very positive about the future. He's like, they're going to get this player back and that's going to unlock this part of the game. And yeah, he gets around it.
Speaking of Kane Corns, I don't know. You probably haven't been listening to much SEN.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, for people that are like, you always talk about SEN a lot, I recommend checking out Fireball Friday from last week and then follow it up with the Monday episode from this week.
Yep.
Kane Corns is on a secondhand car saga, and both Kingy and Bucks cannot believe what is happening.
Okay. Is this for his son?
Yep.
Okay.
He he bought a lemon. And he thought he was doing the right thing. The Fireball Friday in particular is definitely worth listening to because Kingy's bullying Kane to tell him how much he paid for the car.
Yeah. Oh, have you said, sorry, I do love Kingy when he comes up with names. Have you heard he's come up with, he thinks there are three teams that can win the flag and he's given them names?
No.
So they're the Killers, who are Sydney, because they just kill you a thousand different ways.
Sure.
There's the Punishers, GWS, you make a mistake, they destroy you. Yep. And then Geelong are the Disarmers because they make you play with your left hand, apparently, is exactly the quote.
Okay.
He cooks.
I look forward to that all changing next week.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is a Kingy special.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Geelong are no good and Carlton were going to win the flag last week.
He does the Monday means test with Jared on SEN, yep. Which I quite like because at the end of it, they do like their seeds. So they always do their top four, and it's just constantly changing.
And
Jared loves a play-in game. For instance, when Brisbane beat Melbourne, then he had them in fourth in his seeds. But he was like, whoever wins between Brisbane and Geelong, that's a play-in for the top four.
That would cook Kingy.
Yeah. It's just AFL journalism on across the board is wild. Like, how good's footy is really not that out there, which is
I will say, there are also good, respectable AFL journalists out there. Yes. There are more people like us and Kane Corns.
Yeah. I will say that the media product that is put out there, there is respectable journalists. And
Gemma.
Yep.
Gemma. Yeah.
Usually respectable.
They write beautiful articles, but the moment that they let someone talk on, like, a panel or something like that, everything goes out the window.
It's true.
Last game, which is also the middle game of the season, the round.
Oh, felt good, boys.
Were you scared? Did you shit pants?
Big time!
Good. I was worried you were going to say no.
No, Joel! Joel, I don't know if you've heard the Carlton Army when they're awake and angry again, but boy, oh boy, did I get stressed. This is fucking stressful.
Yeah.
I really am impressed and proud of how the team played. This, I think, is one of our better wins for some time.
Yep.
Because Carlton, the way Carlton play, and they did this to GWS last week, is they sort of stay with you, that you kind of skip away, they're always there, and then they just go on this fucking run.
Yeah.
They just surge. And GWS couldn't stop the dam from breaking.
Yep.
Every single time Carlton went on a surge or had a crack,
yeah,
Geelong responded.
Yeah.
Like, Every quarter, there would be a period where Carlton suddenly went, here we fucking go. They'd kick a couple, then they'd miss a sitter, usually Harry Mackay. He kicked a fucking psycho one that went out on the full at one point. And then we'd respond and kick like the next two or three.
Yeah.
It happened. And then it basically every quarter went like that, including the final quarter, where I think it was it like two goals at quarter time, at three quarter time? Like 10 points or something?
So I think you kick.
What was the quarter time score?
Wait, like quarter
difference?
Time?
A three quarter time difference.
So it was 13-9 plays 11-10. So yeah, two goals.
Two goals, like just under two goals.
Yeah.
They had the first three shots, missed them all, and then we went bang, 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 kicked four in a row. And it was like, all right, here we go. And I sat there and we kicked the four and we're up and about and I said, we need to kick one more.
And you're a big fan of this one more.
We just needed, I was like, if we can get one more, that'll just be like, bang. Lid shut, seven goals.
Then you
bang.
Did kick another one, though.
Well, no. Not before they kicked three in a row.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
you did kick one more.
Yeah, exactly.
They kicked four in a row.
And then did you kick one and that was it?
That's it, yep.
Yeah, so you got one more.
Well, I got the one more. But I knew, even
how
when we got-
How did you win by? Two goals?
13 points. Oh. Technically three goals.
So they didn't need the one more.
No.
You absolutely needed the
we
one
needed
more.
We needed the one
I
more.
I watched the last-
Fuck. Blake Akers went bananas back-to-back psycho goals.
Yeah, because Carlton were like, what, six goals down?
Yes.
With like 10 minutes left. You're like, well, it's game over.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they kick four goals in like 4 minutes and you're like, fucking hell, they got all the time in the world here.
This is what they did constantly throughout the game. They just go on these like, it's like the Cripps Walsh effect. They just go berserk for like a period. And if you can weather that, You could beat Carlton.
I listened to this on the radio, and I loved the ending because you just get that big SEN vibe of like, they couldn't, could they? And then they kick another goal. They couldn't, could they?
Oh.
Andy Marr was calling the game.
Yeah. So was Jared.
Geelong, when they kicked, Jared was good. Andy Marr's just Andy Marr. When they,
when
Geelong kicked that goal.
The sealer.
Andy's calling it. And he's like, I reckon in his head, he's like, oh, I was really good there. I was professional. I didn't let my Carlton bias come through. Nah, he wanted to kill himself.
You could hear it.
You could hear it in his voice.
That I want to talk about two things.
Sorry, can I talk about SEN?
Yeah.
You were going to talk about time slot.
Yes.
What's your preferred time slot?
I actually loved this time slot.
What time did this game start?
4:30.
Was it a 4:35?
Or 4:35?
4:35. I'm in the car. I'm driving. I think, oh, I'm going to listen to a bit of this game. This is good. 4:35. Comes and goes. They cut from the previous game, which David Schwartz was doing. Was it the Gold Coast?
No, previous game was North and Adelaide.
North Adelaide. So they cut from that, and they were cutting basically bang on 5:35. And I'm like, they haven't really given themselves enough time. Okay, but here we go. Just went to it. They went dead air. Like dead air for 25 seconds.
That's and I'm
like,
so long.
I was like, this is crazy. And then an ad.
And then Jared and Andy.
No. Then an ad. And it was like an old SEM promo ad because it was talking about Dangerfield getting injured against North Melbourne, which is like, what was that, round two or something?
No, that was at least two weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
3 weeks ago.
Two or 3 weeks ago. That ad, and it's like a minute package. There's a little bit of boxing promo in there. There's footy. There's like Sam Edmund with all the breaking news, blah, blah, blah. They played that same ad on a loop for 9 minutes.
What happened?
Just, I don't know. And then like, 9 minutes into the game, it just cuts like halfway through a sentence, Jared just calling the game. They never mentioned it. They never
Hutchie, went, what are you doing
they never
down
went,
there?
Sorry to listeners, we had some technical difficulties. They, as if nothing ever happened.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to turn it off because I'm like, I don't want to listen to this fucking ad forever, but I also wanted to hear the moment when it cut live.
Yeah, yes,
to hear
happened.
The explanation. None given.
I reckon they didn't know.
9 minutes.
I think that what's
and
happened.
Every, at the end, sorry, Joel, at the end of every ad got about 5 seconds of dead air where you just knew they were like, oh, are we going? Nope, we still don't have it. Play the ad again.
I think
it's fucked.
I think that
the guys at the G didn't know.
Yes, that and
slip them a note so that Jared can be like, "We apologize."
No, I reckon SEN wasn't manned properly. I don't think that the SEN studios knew because every single radio station has like a dead air package basically, and if there was dead air for as long as you were saying, it automatically plays something.
Yeah,
and a lot of the time it's an ad package to give just so that the radio is not dead, and it's like might as well play an ad.
9 minutes.
So, yeah, I'm guessing that someone, like, there was people there, but no one in the studio.
Yeah.
And that, like, a trigger didn't switch to change a broadcast.
So, the two things I want to talk about with this game very quickly.
Alternatively, no one was at the studio at all. Someone heard that happen and fucking floored it.
Jeez. SEN's sloppy.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to Sports Day on the drive over here, and they kept, like, you know, when you accidentally push the button and it plays like the sting music?
Yeah.
Like the in and out of ad breaks and stuff like that. That happened like 3 or 4 times in the space of 5 minutes. They played it for a few seconds and then like Kane's like, oh, a little bit of half a sting there. Like whoever's on the buttons, SEN's fucked. It's a fucked network. And I love it.
Yeah, I'm going to listen every day.
So the two things I want to talk about, obviously, so Blake Agus kicks that second goal and all of a sudden like the Carlton crowd just like rose.
It was your home game.
It was our home game, but there's always going to be more of them.
Yeah.
There's more of them. They're the biggest club in the land, Sean.
They make you a lot of money.
They do. Yeah. So they start up and about, and it's just like the noise is insane because all the Geelong supporters are like cheering and losing their minds. Like, come on.
Where were you sitting?
I was sitting pretty much where we were sitting for that Port game with Jacob. On the wing.
Yeah.
On the lower level, just near
the
bench.
Were you surrounded by Carlton?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And then basically it was like, I think in the first quarter, they'd smash us out of the middle. And this is the thing that we're doing this year that I really like is that Chris Scott makes adjustments in game because he's a good coach. And the players make adjustments in game because they know the system.
Mm-hmm.
So first quarter, smashed out of the middle. Second and third quarter, started to even it up a bit. We started to play a bit more of a defensive role on Cripps. Those sort of things changed. This last quarter, Carlton went on another explosive tear out of the middle. We got back to the middle. It's like, we have to win this center clearance. That center bounce is Walsh, Kennedy, Cripps. Like, that is a fucking massive bounce. Danger's off with a hammy. Guthrie's playing at halfback. That final center bounce clearance is Parfitt, Tanner Bruin, and Tom Atkins.
Mm.
And they fucking beat him.
Good.
And it was so fucking good. And then the ball goes down the end. Stengel does that beautiful kick to Cameron, who goes back, kicks his fifth. it was so good just to see different players bob up when they needed to. Like Brian Myers had a fucking awesome game, just running everywhere, those little link kicks. Holmes had a good fucking game. Ollie Dempsey started like a fucking house on fire.
Yeah.
Cam Guthrie was the opposite. He started wild. He had some kicks that I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And then by the end of it, he's had 27. He's just a bull. It was just a really good, complete performance.
You only had 45 inside 50s and kicked 18-10.
Yeah.
Oh.
They smashed you.
Yep.
At inside 50s.
We had, but again, a lot of intercepts. So like Henry and Colajasny. Colajasny, I think Kurnow kicked three, but Colajasny beat him in a lot of one-on-ones. And it's like, that's pretty fucking good.
Kurnow kicked three. Karen kicked five. Ollie Henry kicked three.
Yep.
Tui kicked three.
Henry Hawkins?
Hawkins kicked zero.
Oh, 3 weeks in a row.
I don't know. Well, he didn't play.
3 weeks in a row.
He didn't play against North.
Three in a row.
Yeah, okay. So technically, he's two games. I think we need to double check to make sure that Hawkins shows up to the game on Melbourne and he's not in Jacob Wiedering's spare pair of pants in his back pocket. Because Wiedering gave him a bath, I have to say. Props to Wiedering. But this was awesome. I saw development of young players. Like Bowes had a really good patch of games. No Tom Stewart, and then Danger goes off for the half. And Danger looked really good when he was on. It just we've regenerated on the run in a really nice way.
Yep.
It was good. It's a fucking good win. I will say this. A lot of people want to know why Zach Williams didn't get that free kick for a high. That's because, and then they're people? Like,
Tracy,
this is just for you.
Open your fucking ears, Tracy.
And people are like, yeah, see, Henry got sighted. Yes, he did. For low impact to the body. Why did Zach Williams' head go back like that? Because he flopped like a fish and then got a goal kicked on him. Bang.
Cop that, Tracy.
Go Cats.
And cop the loss.
We're fucking back.
So that's all the games to this
GMHBA
massive,
forever.
Massive, massive round, which felt like it went forever. Started on Wednesday, went till Sunday. All right, we got a couple of emails that I think the big one here, this is from Maddie, and there's two big reveals here.
Okay.
Proposal for the new podcast name. How good's Kyle Langford? Edits. Had this saved since the first quarter. Now feels very wrong since he missed the last kick. So alternative podcast name. How shit's a draw. Maddie. P.S. Look out for something coming in the mail soon.
Whoa.
Presents. I don't mind a draw, Maddie. Yeah. I'm definitely not in the camp if we got to get rid of the draw.
I got a question for you, Sean, because I can't remember off the top of my head right now and I'm thinking about playoffs too much in the NBA. You only go to OT all the time?
In what?
Basketball. Playoffs. NBA.
Yeah. Oh, in regular season.
Regular season?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because yep. I know soccer don't unless it's like a final. They still have draws.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's a less superior game. But NBA is always overtime.
Yep.
Yep. Or sometimes double overtime, triple overtime.
Double OT is.
And
it's really juicy.
Stuff. Pastor Pete has also emailed in, just sent us a photo of a man walking into the ocean.
Who's Pastor Pete barrack for?
Pastor Pete's a lion. He's in the Brisbane group chat.
The subject of the email is fuck! Actually, fuck!
Oh, man. This has been a big episode.
This has been a big episode. Just like to quickly say, fantasy chat, I went 5 from 5.
Sean beat me for revenge from the last time I beat him.
That play me in an equal field of battle, your dog, and you lose.
How much you win by? A lot?
Nah, not heaps.
I got about 50.
Yeah, something around that.
Slightly more than it was 70.
The app is really giving me the shits.
It's giving me the shits too.
It's like the whole weekend, I'm like, does Tom have Nick Watson on his team?
I haven't had him for 2 weeks.
And then he suddenly just disappeared in the final game, even though you didn't have a player. The player that swapped into that had already played.
Was Grime.
Like fucking Thursday night or something.
Oh, yeah, no, they're there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I don't mind it. Only,
no, I hate that.
Only because, like, the new play, like, I get it because, like,
no,
it comes
come up with
new player yet to play.
Used to come up with, player yet to play or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I looked at you and I thought, oh, I might actually have Shawnee because I thought it was Miller v. Roberts because it was still showing you having Massimo D'Ambrosio.
Yeah, like, see that.
Who'd you bring in for that?
Walsh.
So yeah.
That should have.
Walsh didn't show up until afterwards. And I'm like,
see, fuck.
Walsh should have shown up for you on Saturday.
Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah, it's
that's
weird.
That's annoying. That's really annoying.
It was better early in the season. I don't know what's
going
on.
It's gotten worse.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It's almost like the AFL are designing it, and they are bad.
I went 4 from 5.
Yeah.
I lost narrowly in the weapons again. I've lost so many fucking games in the weapons. I lost by about 30 points.
Yeah, that's happened to me, but in and risky reels for some reason.
Would have won if Grundy played well. He yeah. really fucked me.
I actually got the highest score in the weapons this week.
Jesus.
Mm. I beat Tom by about 75.
Yeah.
In the end, yeah.
Basically Walsh.
And
no, that's not true. Fucking idiot.
I would have beat Tom by nearly 200.
Wow. Yeah, you were very good. It feels good to be over 2,000.
Yeah. Just feeling like seeing over 2,000 again. I'm in the 2-1s. What the fuck?
See, I've got a lot of dilemmas this week. I've got a lot of chaff.
Tom, you've got
still
fucking
need to cut.
Dilemmas every single week.
And I've got to get rid of Connor Rosie.
Feels bad to be 18th in the weapons and then feels good to be second in the fun section.
Wait. You're 18th in the weapons?
I think so.
I've won twice in the no. weapons.
I'm reading this correctly.
That's okay.
I've only won one. I'm 1-6. And I reckon I've lost 5 of them by like sub 30 points.
Oh.
It's been tight.
Yeah. Well, you must have been smashing a couple because your percentage is 97.86.
Okay.
Maybe actually, no. That's still pretty close.
I don't think so. I've had some close ones.
The Carton Blues have had 2 wins, 5 losses, and have a percentage of 100. And Light and Tangy Crips have 1-4, lost 3, but have a percentage of 99. It's chaos already.
Yeah, I lost round 1 by 22. I lost round 2 by about 15. Then I lost by... No, then I won somehow. Then I lost by 23 points, got smashed by Brandon. So I did get smashed once, I believe. Lost to Tom by 22 points in a fucking bye round heartbreak. Yep. And then lost by 30 points. That's pretty fucked.
Yeah. And to go all the way to 16th on that.
It's nice to have no 18th. Buys for another 3 weeks.
Could so easily be top 4 in the weapons. It's so tight.
I'm 4th.
Well done. That's good coaching.
Joel, well done.
Thank you. 2nd in reserves, 4th in the weapons, 6th in the fun section, 8th in Stu Martin.
Jesus.
I just want to check
4th in Risky Reels.
So Tim, how's Tim going? Mr. Top 100 last year.
Tim.
Where is Tim? Tim's 16th. He's 2-5.
Yeah.
He's Brisbane. What's going on with Tim?
I just read you out.
Tim, is everything all right, mate? You're a top 100 player in the world.
He's got, yeah.
2-5. What's going on?
I will say this year feels like you can't rely on players that you could have relied on in previous years. Does that make sense?
What's your total score, Joel?
My total score?
Yeah.
So my total score is 13,478.
All right. So Tim has scored slightly higher than you, but only by like 10 or 15 points.
Yeah.
That's, whoa, wow. Whew. Tim's on the same win-loss record as Tom.
That's disgusting.
Tim, what the fuck are you doing?
But Tom, for you, well done.
Yeah.
Hey.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm in the top 1,000 Essendon supporters. So that's sure. pretty good.
I'm not.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Well, good luck to all the coaches this week.
Yep.
There's probably some pretty juicy matchups, and it should be another big week of football. I'm very scared. Essendon versus West Coast. I mightn't be here next week based on that result. But Tom, if people want to get in touch with the show, where can they find us?
They can find us via email at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com. Send us photos of you walking into something better than the sea, hopefully.
Walk into a pie.
Walk into some footy cards.
Send us your inner peace ideas.
Yes, send us inner peace ideas.
I'm loving all the responses on Instagram to How Good's Footy Pod, where we just get photos of snow leopards.
Yeah,
send us your favourite Will Hayward tweet.
We've already read them all, Tom.
Nah, there's more.
I don't think there are.
I'm with Sean. Please continue.
Or you can find us on Instagram at How Good's Footy Pod,
mm-hmm.
or individually on all forms of social media. I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at Carney from 55 and Scaredy Boys. Is it Scaredy Boys Pod?
Scaredy Boys Podcast.
Scaredy Boys Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can find me at Douche13.
You also don't find us on Letterboxd if you want to see what movies they're watching or what if Sean
or
actually
me and
did.
Sean not what movies me and Sean aren't watching.
There's that too.
I haven't even seen June 2 yet. What the fuck is going on?
That's incredible from you.
Yeah, that's
what are you doing, mate?
Don't you do a movie pop culture podcast?
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with you,
I
man?
I watched a movie called Bones instead.
People should follow me on Letterboxd because you'll get that anticipation of what's the movie that's finally going to bring him back to life.
Yeah, that's true.
And is it Walter Mitty?
You can find me on Letterboxd. It could be, actually. I have a slightly different handle. It's just Dusher, D-U-S-C-H-E-R.
Yeah. I'm at Carney Sean, I believe.
Yeah.
And I'm at Orchid Trade.
You can just search for our full names on there. It'll come up. Anyway.
Find one of us and you'll find us all.
Yeah.
Best of luck to everyone who barracks for good teams.
Yes.
And may everyone who barracks for shit teams continue to have a bad time. I mean good and shit, not performance-wise, but club-wise. For example, if you barrack for Collingwood, have a shit time. If you barrack for Sydney, maybe have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. See you next week. Go footy! Woo!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.